The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
I don't believe the Sunday night theme's been brought out this year, so I thought I'd rip it out. I didn't want to put out a little bit of Kerry Underwood there, but you know, we'll just go with the NBC theme.
Every time I hear this, every time it always feels like a montage from a Rocky movie.
It just has it does actually.
Yeah, it really does. Hello, everyone.
Could absolutely put this behind Rocky doing a jiu-jitsu.
Any different? Trust me. This is wild card, super wild card weekend, they're calling it now, because there's six games in the wild card before the divisional round. Sunday, Monday games. So the two Sunday games were the Bengals edging out the Raiders, divisional Raiders, 26-19. The Bills, I mean, throttled is the word that's written here, and I'll use that word, throttled.
Absolutely throttled.
47-17.
I don't think too many people saw a 30-point margin in that game.
I didn't see that much points getting poured on in for both teams, but it was ridiculous. And then the Monday games were the Bucks beating the Eagles 31-15. My Cowboys getting knocked out, and I had no confidence in, because I was always scared of the 49ers, but the 49ers won 23-17.
Controversy, a little...
That's controversial.
There's been a lot of backpedaling throughout the week since the game's actually concluded, so...
Well, I know exactly what we'll do when I'll say that soon. The Chiefs smacked the Steelers 42-21, and the Rams, was a few smacking games, really, but they really had control of this game and beat the Cards 34-11. So we'll start, as always, just up the top, especially these kind of games, because a lot of it sort of ties into who they're going to play next week. But the Bengals, look, I mean, they had that hot start in the first quarter, really nice sort of hot start in the first quarter. And then Vegas came back in the second quarter, and to me, coming in the second half, at least, Vegas looked stronger.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely they did.
Even though they were down.
Looked as they were sort of chugging through some of the statistical stuff throughout the start of this game. I thought that, was very interesting. Joe Burrow was a 70% passer this year, which I thought, I didn't think he was quite that high, accuracy wise. And I just thought it was quite ironic that the person that was bringing that up on the broadcast was Drew Brees, who, you know, is known for his accuracy. He's not quite there as a play by play kind of guy yet. I think he's more of a studio type player. He's not quite there. Like when Tony Romo went straight into the booth, he was amazing.
Fire, which is absolute his, fire.
His analysis. Drew Brees, he's not quite there yet.
They've obviously went, well, Tony Romo has just been fire, so let's try to get any quarterback in. And he's just monotone.
He is. I think he can improve and get better. Like, he's better in the studio shows than what he is sort of. I think he could absolutely learn a lot more from Romo. But the thing is, too, like, Brees has probably only done two, maybe three games this year. And when Romo was picked up by CBS, he was just thrown straight in there with Jim Nance, and he's going to be out there every single week. He's going to be doing a game every week, and I think he learnt very quickly. Whereas Drew Brees has been in the studio back and forth. He's not quite there yet for the lofty pay packet that NBC's paying him.
Or Romo had that already before he come in, because he was fired straight away.
He just took to it like a fish to water, like it was unreal.
Just Jim, look at that, Jim. He kind of loves throwing Jim's name out. It's so good.
He just projects it out so well. Like he, whatever's going through his mind, he knows how to sort of to put it out there to everybody. That's, I mean, Wes Breeze, I'm sure the brain's ticking over, but it's not quite coming out, you know, on the microphone and on the broadcast.
You reckon Aikman was probably not, but you reckon Aikman was a little bit dirty that he didn't get the Dallas game?
I have heard that he was.
I mean, because they both work for the same network, but Romo's just Romo. I think
Romo works for CBS and Aikman works for Fox. So
yeah. Oh no, sorry. Fox had the choice, is what I read. Fox had the choice first.
Yeah, it was really weird the way they were coming out. Oh yeah, whether this game's going to be on Fox or on CBS. Yeah, it was really bizarre how they're
digressing
started.
Away from the actual game, yeah. But once I don't know, like
anyway, Jared Burrow, super super accurate.
He was. He was. His was boy. Just, he's got was... his boy involved. His Jamar Chase, you know, his LSU boy.
Of course.
And then just kept that accuracy going. Like the run game was there, but you know, when you have Max Crosby coming at you 1,000 miles per hour.
Right. And I think that troubled him a little bit. Like he seemed to sort of get around that right guard and the right tackle fairly easily. Making Joe Burrow, putting a little bit of pressure on him anyway, but it didn't seem to faze him too much. And I didn't really think it seemed to faze Derek Carr that much either. Like, even though he had to throw the ball 54 times and, you know, he relied on Josh Jacobs a fair bit. It was just, it was the slow ending towards this game, you know, at the end of this game that they just couldn't quite get the job done. Vegas have hemorrhaged points, well, not so much points, but hemorrhaged touchdowns in the end zone this year. 81% of the time they give up a touchdown in the red zone. Like, that's not good.
Their defensive line's great, but their middle linebackers through to their secondaries.
Secondary, and yeah, the two out of the three levels are pretty horrible, but their defensive their defensive front is pretty good.
Oh, it is. It's really good.
I just thought, and also, you know, we can't sort of miss out on I guess the little bit of controversy that's sort of come out in this game. I don't feel that there is any controversy at all with the supposed whistle that was blown before the Tyler Boyd touchdown. It wasn't simultaneous, but the way that it sort of the call come out, Tyler Boyd didn't have anybody around him. He was as wide open as you can get in the end zone. So A, it wouldn't have mattered if the play had been stopped anyway because there was nobody there. And B, the whistle was that close to him catching the ball. The guys, whoever was on defense in that secondary wouldn't have had a chance to stop competing.
Yeah.
But you would have been told, and you're told that when you play basketball, you're told that when you played football, you play to the whistle.
But they
wouldn't have had enough time to stop. Do you know what I mean? Like to go, oh, there was a whistle there.
I don't, if you go back to replays maybe, but I don't remember hearing a whistle.
Oh no! I remember hearing it, and then it's just like, why did they blow that whistle? And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, it's a touchdown. So the way that Burrow sort of rolled out, and it looked like that he'd stepped out of bounds as he threw the ball to Tyler Boyd. So the referees, I think it must have been the side judge, would have blown the whistle. So from what they've gone out about by rule, that should have been a replay of down because it was an inadvertent whistle. yeah, they'd sort of gone back and realized, oh, hang on a minute. Yeah, we've blown the whistle too early, or, you know, he wasn't out of bounds when he threw the ball. So that should have been a replay of that down. I think it was third down. They decided to just play us straight through that and go, nope, touchdown. So it's like, okay, like that's I think that's the only sort of semi-controversy that I can see that's come out of that. Not the actual whistle itself, that the, you know, the officials have just blown through the rule and have said, we're just gonna, you know, essentially pick up the flag, not worry about the whistle itself, and just go, nope, that's a touchdown.
Yeah. Oh, and it's I don't think it's as controversial, like you said. I don't. In my eyes, at least, I didn't believe it was that controversial, to be completely honest.
I didn't think so, because it just, you see how wide open Tyler Boyd was. There was nobody around him. When the whistle was blown, it essentially stopped anyway, because there's nobody around there, so there's no point in trying to chase after him or anything. They know that he's already caught the ball.
So no, that's exactly
I think
right.
It was it's the part of by rule, because it's an inadvertent whistle, that down should have been replayed.
To the letter of the rule. To the letter
of
the rule.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it was a decent win by Bengals. They'll go up against the week off Tennessee Titans with still undetermined if Derrick Henry's going to be back. So that's going to wait till Friday.
That's Cincinnati's first playoff win
31
in 31 years.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, now they go on the road to Tennessee. And all time, Cincinnati are 0-7 on the road in the playoffs. So it doesn't look good for the Bengals, but I mean, look.
I don't know. I think Joe Burrow just looks completely calm. I think he's just used to this. You know, he's used to this with LSU and all that. They got written off a lot. No one expected them to get to where they were.
No, absolutely not.
His post and conference, you know, and his press conferences and even these pre ones, he's been downplaying the first win in 31 years. He said basically his quote was, this is how it's going to be from here on out. So
yeah, that's right. That's
a confidence man, really, right there. Yeah. So
they're setting a new standard for the franchise.
I still don't see him getting past personally the Tennessee Titans. They're 3.5 outsiders. I'm a bit annoyed at the moment in terms of the Tennessee Titans really getting no love. Like it's you know, really at the end of the day, they're only, you're supposed to go on, you know, we say we go on week by week and biasness and non-biasness and that, but they got there and you know, they beat these big teams. I just, you know, 3.5 is,
the playoffs are a different animal, and you know, when it's win or go home. Look, you can see it happens to the best of people. Have a look, you know, no further than what happened the week before with essentially the Indianapolis Colts with everything to play.
Yeah.
And yeah, they go to Jacksonville and they shit the bed. So, not to say that it can't happen, but they've had a week to sit on it. They've had a week to game plan now.
I'm half tempted. I don't know. It's pretty what happens to Derrick Henry, but I'm half tempted, as outsiders that they are now, to put money on them to win the AFC. I really am. It's gonna be tough. I'm not gonna lie, but you know, they're either gonna face the Chiefs and the Bills, and we'll go through that in a sec. But man, I don't know. They're really hard to rule out, Pete, to be completely honest.
All these games now are going to be tough. So you know that when you put that element of win or go home, then it instantly raises the bar. You know, of the not so much the caliber of game, but yeah, that, you know, the teams can get into desperation mode.
Next game was the Bills at home in New York, if you, you know, depending on how you look at it, but they were technically, well, Buffalo is in New York, so we'll technically.
Well, Western New York.
Just like every single, literally every down every play, drive is probably the best word, that they did, they scored 47-17.
Yeah, wasn't it like, yeah, they had, like, in the first half, they had four drives, four touchdowns. I think the next three drives that they had in the second half were all resulted in touchdowns. They had 300-plus yards of total offense in the first half. Yeah, picked off Mac Jones early, so they're sort of making the Patriots chase the game and play from behind, and they don't really like to do that. Yeah, they don't really like to sort of heap that kind of pressure on Mac Jones. You know, we sort of come up with a stat a couple of weeks ago that, yeah, the Patriots are like 1-5 when Mac Jones has two or more turnovers, and he had three in this. I think he had two interceptions and a fumble loss. So, it was, once they sort of got the jump, the only thing that wasn't going for them essentially was that block PAT attempt. I think it was after the third touchdown. I think they had their point after blocked. So that was really the only thing that went wrong, I think, for the Buffalo Bills in this game. They were immaculate.
I found I was looking for a little stat just to find, you know, speaking of Mac Jones, but the return, or I guess the record really. For rookie quarterbacks, how they fare in the NFL playoffs. Now, there's been 18 rookies that have started in the playoffs during the Super Bowl era, posting a 9-18 record against 27 games. So it's not too bad, but all these rookies have started. It ended up being that way with a little bit of the writing on the wall, unfortunately. So,
I mean, I guess so too, and you know the playoff situations have changed over the years as well. So yeah, those numbers might be a little bit distorted, but that's just it. The way that the Patriots, I think everybody was very surprised at how easily the Bills sort of moved the ball, ran the ball, and put a hurting on this Patriots defense, which has been pretty good all year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, all they have, we've praised them every year, you know, Matt Judon leading the pack. But, I don't think, I mean, Bill said at post-press conference, he said they were better, we weren't good, and that's literally, and then he walked off. So I don't honestly think he'd be he'd be disappointed with the win. It's Bill Belichick, but I don't really think they'll be disappointed with the year. Personally,
no, absolutely not.
And them getting 10-7,
finishing 10-7 and being up to their eyeballs in that division until the very last game of the season. It's not a super success, but for a rookie quarterback who fell in their lap at pick 15, their wide receiver core has been fairly inconsistent this year. They've had a lot more sort of dependable run game this year, which got totally shut down in this game. Like Buffalo's defense.
Yeah, started nicely. Damien
really
Harris
sort
he,
of really shut them down.
Damien Harris was starting nicely and then got really, like you just said, shut down big time.
Big time.
He was starting
even
nicely.
Stevenson, both of them did nothing. They didn't even, like, they couldn't, both of them couldn't even combine for 60 rushing yards. Like, it was it was crazy. Like, even Mac Jones is sort of, scrambling out of the pocket. And he had a couple of rushes for 18 yards. I think it was a 16 or 17 yard run.
Yeah.
That he had.
Which he
and
doesn't
just
do.
Doesn't,
he
just
doesn't,
doesn't
do.
Do that.
No, he doesn't do that.
He just doesn't do that.
Devin Singletary.
I'm pretty sure his under over for rush yards is like 1.5.
Really? I don't like
I'm
golf.
Pretty
then.
Sure,
really?
I'm pretty sure because I have put it on him a couple of times to come on, man.
1.5.
You get two freaking rushing yards. Like,
and
you can't tell me you can't get flushed out of the pocket. You can't get 2 yards.
Far out.
Yeah, no, I've been burnt. I've been burnt on it.
Wow. Devin Singletary was really good in this game. He's a good young player. I mean, it's been their MO all year, just like their running game. And can they get their running game going? He's come
into some really hot form towards the end of the season too.
I just wish he did it during the year because I think he's a good player. He's only 23 years old. Or just turned 24.
But he's more of a pass. He's been known more as a pass catching running back than more of your guy that's going to take between 15 and 20 rushes per game. But he's been doing that a lot. I think there's a few teams out there that have sort of changed up their pass catching running backs. Alvin Kamara had his most rushing attempts. In his career since 2017 this year.
Yeah.
And he was hurt for a couple of games too. So they sort of changed the scheme on him a little bit. They've changed Singletary up a little bit this year, and it seems to work really well.
So Bills move ahead. They've got a juicy matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, last year's AFC championship game. So that'll be that's gonna be very juicy, that game.
That's the sort of late game on the Sunday. Is that on the Sunday for us?
Yeah.
It's a rematch of the AFC Championship game from last year.
Yep.
Look, that is going to be one hell of a matchup. Like it's the second year, I guess, of the jump and the improvement of Josh Allen. I think he's a lot more confident in himself now. Like last year, whether or not it was just one of those things where it's just like, holy crap, like I can actually, do well and play well in these situations. And, they didn't quite get the job done in KC last year. I think they are an absolute red hot shot to knock off Kansas City. There, not to say me personally, in tipping competitions, I've still picked the Chiefs.
Well, the Chiefs are 1.5 favorites, which is probably fair.
Is that all?
Yeah, 1.5. That's it.
That's essentially a pick 'em, really. That's pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I found that we'll get to that game in a sec, but I found it funny that pretty much straight after that win the next day, they were already saying the Bills are playing the Chiefs before
I'm pretty sure it was Sportsbet. Sportsbet had already had betting markets up for the Chiefs and the Bills before the Chiefs had even beaten Pittsburgh.
It was being advertised. If you've seen it in the NFL games, this was ridiculous.
I was cheering so hard for Pittsburgh to just go and screw everybody. Screw everybody that was doing that. Look, again, Pittsburgh probably didn't deserve to be in the playoffs, but look, man, anything can happen. Anything can happen in this league.
Oh, of course.
Pittsburgh has got an amazing defense. You pick Mahomes off a couple of times, which they did. They picked him off early. You do that, and it's a totally different game. Like I really wanted Pittsburgh. It would have been nice to see Big Ben have himself another swan song. But look, just on the pure fact of that, to just go, what the hell with you guys? Like, you think that we're a total write off here? The hell with you guys?
I guarantee Tomlin wouldn't have been thinking that at all. No way.
No, hell no.
Next game, but was the Bucs beating the Eagles 31-15. The Bucs were absolutely awesome for three quarters and then either went to sleep or just went, we've got this game, and then left it the fourth quarter where Philadelphia got all their points.
No, that's right. Look, the Bucs did whatever they wanted
for
three quarters.
Yeah, they really did. They really did.
And they really put a hurting on, no pun intended, on Philadelphia, on Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles' leading rusher was Jalen Hurts. That is something that they really need to address in the offseason, the inconsistency of their run game. You know, whether it's Sanders, you know, whether it's the rookie Kenneth Gainwell, Howard, that's there. Boston Scott, it's so inconsistent. I think that's something that needs to be addressed in the offseason, because they just look like turd for three quarters. And look, the Bucks secondary hasn't been great, especially at the back end of the season. Look, their front four is amazing. It's just one of those things where it's playoff time and that's Brady time.
Well, this is true, but I don't know if they even like keep Jalen Hurts beyond next year, because he, well, brilliant if you've got him in a fantasy squad. He has some games, like he was in this one, where he's absolute turd. There's games he's great, but I don't know. I still think they're all in for, because they've got three first rounders. I still think they're all in for a QB, whether it be one of the three that we've mentioned. I don't think they see Hurts as the next as their quarterback going forward. I really don't.
Yeah, no, they will be. Like, yeah, Philadelphia had 17 total yards of offense in the first quarter. They had one first down.
So what I'm getting at is
brutal.
If you get a great quarterback, it could fix a lot of things, like a Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. It puts him in the right sort of stead. I know there's other areas you have to fix. I understand.
You want a consistent running game and not have to rely on three different guys. Do you know what I mean? And then have to rely on Jalen Hurts' legs, because he's had to do everything. He had to throw 43 times in this game.
Oh,
you know, he had nearly 40 yards on the ground. Like, you can't expect him to do everything. It's too much.
And what I can't work out, and this is, it'll be interesting with the Bucks this week, but you knew Mike Evans was going to get the ball, and he was pretty much open.
I knew Gronkowski was going to score an anytime touchdown at $2.30. That's what I knew.
Well, this is true. It is Rob Gronkowski. It is Tom Brady. It is the playoffs. So, yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, and this is just the Eagles' defense, but he was open. Literally 9 times out of 10, I was about to say, because that's what he got, 9 receptions for 10 targets. He was open all those times. So it really just, Look, no one expected the Eagles to really, I guess, at the end of the day, I never expected them to beat the Bucks. I think they would, like everybody would have had a chance, but
no.
It's...
Look, the score line absolutely flattered them. Did I read correctly as well that the Eagles have waived Jalen Reagor? Was that a real thing?
Ooh, I didn't see that one. That's interesting. Really?
He muffed that punt as well. Wow. He was sort of in the punt return game. Yeah, he dropped that punt and Tampa scored. I think it was like 3 plays later or something like that. So I'm sure I read something about that. Yeah, that Jalen Reagor has been waived. So
no, there's 3 articles I'm looking at right now, and one of them is NBC Sports Philadelphia, and they said Eagles are disappointed by Reagor, but don't expect him to go anywhere. Right. So
might have just been one of those rumor ones that he could get waived, but I thought it was
here, but he'll be there next year. So. Wow, man, his record. So year one, 11 games, 31 catches, 400 yards, 1 touchdown. Year two, 17 games, 33 catches, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's not really a good progression. So
no, that's not good. That's not a good uptick.
No. Look, the next game was the Cowboys.
We got to talk about it.
Oh, you got to talk. Yeah, of course we do. Look. The San Francisco were sublime in that first quarter. They were sublime. Like you could see exactly their game plan, what they were going to do, and they executed extremely well.
There was, I don't think there was any beating around the bush so to speak, about what they were going to do in this game. They were absolutely going to run the ball down Dallas's throat.
And then they've done that all as well, all year as well, I should say. But
it only took them 7 plays on that opening drive to score a touchdown. It's like, man, that was quick.
Quick, yeah. That's right. It was extremely quick.
That was such a huge confidence builder straight up for them to just for that to happen so quickly. 7 plays, and you're just like, oh, all right. And then Dallas comes out on the field, you know, for their first series. And, you know, even so, they just didn't look crisp on offense at all.
No, they didn't. They were getting mauled, and well, at least Dak was getting mauled and attacked by San Francisco's really good defensive line. You know, like Arik Armstead and Fred Warner's, and Nick Bosa's. You know, their front four is
as devastating as what there is in the league at the moment, and they're coming into some good play at the right end of the season. I think Dallas in the first half they had like 5 penalties that were killers, and pre-snap penalties were killers, and they just keep putting themselves behind the 8-ball. They only had, you know, a third of possession. They only had 10 minutes time of possession in that first half as well. So they didn't have the ball in hand. Jimmy G, you know, and Kyle Shanahan, you know, they'd come out there. They've got the plan happening. A little bit of RPO with Jimmy G and, you know, and the run pass option to sort of get that. Cause I think, yeah, they like San Francisco, like a lot of motion in the line. You know, obviously they're using Debo Samuel essentially as, you know, a running back at the moment as well.
He can do everything. He does everything.
It's unbelievable how well he's playing at the moment, especially in a position that he's probably not too super familiar with, but they've just put him in there and he's playing out of his skin.
He is.
Look, once we sort of got to that, we got that quick sort of touchdown in the second quarter, and then going to the half, I guess they would have been a little bit buoyed. It was 16-7, but
16-7 at the half, you would have been, oh, okay. I still think they could have been better if they had maybe eked out another 3 points going into the half, maybe 16-10 or around that. Yeah, obviously another touchdown, 16-14 would have been, you know, especially how poorly I think they sort of played on the offensive side in that first half. I think they would have been very happy only going in down a couple of points. But I think, you know, being down 9 points at the half, I don't think they would have been terribly impressed.
No. And you could just see even their body language in that set of third quarter, and then fourth quarter they had to do something. But the third quarter they were, I don't think they gave up, obviously, but the body language just wasn't great.
The body language dropped and the bottom lip dropped when Dak throws the interception, and then one play later, Debo scores. That was beautiful. That is so deflating.
He just had a nice couple of blocks there, and that was a beautiful run straight across the field. That was really good, actually. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Debo's touchdown. We'll may as well talk about the fourth quarter, the final play of the fourth quarter.
There was a lot leading up to that as well.
Firstly, it wasn't a quarterback sneak. A quarterback sneak is a quarterback draw. I just wanted to say that at the start.
Absolutely. It's a draw.
Are saying QB sneak. You know, not analysts, but certain people are saying QBs. No, it was a QB draw.
That's not a QB sneak.
No. QB sneak's literally right, like if you're sitting right behind the center there. But no, it was a quarterback draw. However, I'm still disillusioned why that was called. I looked at the time. I looked at his
14,
time.
Look, 14 seconds left. Even the play before was such a nice play that it didn't take that much time off the clock. I think it only took 4 seconds off the clock. Wasn't sure. Like I'd already knew the result because I had to sort of dart out and do some stuff. I had to actually watch the end of this game on replay, so I already knew what happened. So watching this, knowing what was going on, you can sort of see things in hindsight, which I don't really like to do, but I'm sort of a bit of a prisoner of the moment and watching it live, but you could hear the way that Romo and Nance and that were talking about this. The way the 14 seconds was not going to be enough time, and it was a little bit of panic stations instead of Prescott finding the referee to give the ball to. The center grabs it and he puts it at his feet, and it's just like, no, the official has to touch the ball. You can't just put the ball down willy nilly and say, yeah, no, that's where the line of scrimmage is going to be. The official has to do it, and the official has to sort of get through some 280 pounders to try and get to the ball as quickly as possible so he can mark it.
I don't agree with the play, irregardless of whoever called the play.
I do agree with the play, but Dak should have been so much more aware to get down earlier.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it was that, so it was getting down earlier.
Yeah, he took five too many yards.
Or get into the sideline or throw in the ball. I don't agree with the play, but I don't, and that could be whoever the coach called that, whatever. I definitely can't blame anybody but Dak for that, like you just said then, not finding the referee, because the referee has to touch the ball. And they might have had a quick sort of snap and had maybe 2 seconds left and have a Hail Mary sort of throw.
They got inside the 25. That's nowhere near Hail Mary, but if that had been done right, they could have had easily a couple of plays, a couple of shots at the end zone.
Yeah, you just mentioned it before, getting down there before they did the quarterback draw. The last three plays, they were popping down the field just with throwing the ball.
They made it
easily.
San Francisco essentially got out of jail free with that, because they let the Cowboys get down the field that easily.
Well, if you looked at that last play when he went for the quarterback draw, because they didn't have anybody on the sidelines, and then before then they caught, and that's just how that's clearly been called, but they end up putting three players each side of the sideline, and then he's decided to run to the middle because there wasn't going to be enough people. But like you said, he sort of went down earlier. But you can't tell me there could have been a CD and Amari that could have ran like a little route in the middle there.
CD Lamb was a total non-factor in this game. He had one freaking catch.
Well, we're known.
Troy Aikman was extremely critical of that point. I read an article on Bleacher Report. He was extremely critical of CD Lamb just being non-existent.
But that could be play calling, that could be him not being open, it could be a lot of things, but unfortunately...
Dalton Schultz seems to get open all right.
Yeah, Dalton
Blake
Schultz.
Blake Jarwin seems to get open all right.
I like Dalton Schultz. He's
No, but you know good, what I mean? Guys that are a hell of a lot less athletic. You can't tell me the CeeDee Lamb, can't shed a cornerback, can't shed a free safety? Come on.
I know exactly what you mean. We're a team, unfortunately, now that we're out, we're a team that, unfortunately, good or bad, we have to do a big move in the offseason, regardless of what it is.
It's a huge disappointment. Like, this is, an NFC that, okay, that you've had a couple of streaking teams away, like Tampa and Green Bay, but, the Cowboys finished to 12-5. They were 6-0 against NFC East opponents. So that means they're 6-5 against the rest of the league. And we all know how much a dumpster fire that the NFC East is.
Correct. Correct.
So I think that's more of a telltale sign. I think their numbers this year may have been boosted up a little bit by playing in an awful division. But even so, like, you can only play the teams that are in front of you. Say it all year.
Correct. So you still got to win the game regardless. So
no, that's right.
So then I pose, well, off the top, I mean, I've got two options here. But what off the top of your head, what do you think we do then in the off season? Because we always do something.
I still think there needs improvement defensively. Like, they went from an awful defense, to an average defense. I still think there's improvement there. Like, look, don't get me wrong. Michael Parsons, unbelievable. Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, went down. He got a little bit concussed.
He got a concussion, didn't he?
Yeah. So he came back, but not.
And he got rattled too.
Very long time. He got rattled. Yeah. I think these are the two options, and these are out. And this is what we do. We do stupid out there options, but this is what the Dallas Cowboys is. We either the most plausible one, fire Mike McCarthy. I know Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are going for interviews, but they need to work out what they're doing with Mike McCarthy. Or, and this is the far out one, but I don't know what he's going to do anymore, is do you look to move Ezekiel Elliott on? I'm serious.
I was just about to say, because we said it a few weeks ago that you have a look at him statistically. He set such massive standards for himself after that rookie campaign, and he has only dived since then. Each year, it's been less productive and less productive and less productive. He was, again, like CeeDee Lamb, he was a total non-factor in this game.
He's been, at least with CeeDee Lamb, he's been okay, but he's kind of been a total non-factor this year. I think... Well, he's coming up to his contract year, but I think they might look at starting.
He got his money, didn't he?
No. The person I'm about to say, they need to start looking at what they're going to do, and if they need to do it, is put Tony Pollard as a starting running back. Why not? He looks explosive than Zeke. He looks, at least he did this year.
He does. You're right. He has this year. Like, I just don't know what it is with Zeke. I just think it's almost like a Saquon Barkley. Like the rookie season was so unbelievable that how are you meant to keep that standard? He just hasn't been able to do it.
I don't know.
The only problem is you're only going to get cents on the dollar if you're going to try and offload him.
I know, but then you also offload that, $30 million $30 million a year contract. Oh no, he's not on 30. Sorry, that was a dead cap space. About the $18 million a year contract that he's on. You shift that.
That's
off,
right. Yeah, he got his money, and it's. Yeah, it's really sad because it is, man. But... You've seen the potential there, but it's just see. And the other thing is too is that's another thing that the Dallas Cowboys could try and go out there and improve as well is on the O line.
Yeah, well, this is true. I mean, we'll still have our first rounder, which is good. Which is fine. Then that'll be good. I just think we need to. Well, I don't know. I haven't been completely sold on Mike McCarthy this whole year.
His play, not so much his play calling, because that's up to Kellen Moore. His clock management this year has left much to be desired. And that's the way that it's been for them, and it really come back and bit them in the ass this season, and it's cost them their season.
So the 49ers now will move on to Lambeau Field, face the week off Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, nice fresh Aaron Rodgers, a nice fresh Green Bay side who've been licking their wounds, I guess, a little bit. I do believe that Za'Darius Smith is going to be back for Green Bay, which is going to be great. And there's also talks about Bakhtiari possibly. Maybe not so much for this game, but if they continue on, he could actually be back as well. And I think a very interesting little stat for this. Aaron Rodgers has played San Francisco 3 times in his career in the playoffs. He's 0-3. So I don't know. Read into that what you will. But I thought that was very interesting to find that out.
It's possibly the most funnest game of next week, probably except for Bills Chiefs, I suppose, would be the other one. But
Bills Chiefs is going to be insane.
But I reckon then the 49ers Packers game will be insane. Because I said it last week. I genuinely believe that whoever wins that game, or whoever I told you, whoever wins Cowboys 49ers, I thought could win the NFC division. And I kind of think 49ers, like, well, I didn't realize the stat for Rodgers against the 49ers, but I kind of think they're stronger coming into this game. I know the Packers are 13-4, sorry, my mistake, but still, I don't know. I like the 49ers O-line. We've talked about their defense.
Their O-line, their D-line, the fact that the way that they play at the moment, the run game generally travels. Like, you can generally still, you know, play well as a running team on the road. You don't have to do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, a really good rushing attack goes well on the, you know, is conducive to road football. So I think that's a very important sort of factor there as well. If Green Bay, you know, up front can't sort of stop this run game, it could be another run heavy type of game. With, you know, Elijah Mitchell and Debo Samuel sort of lining up in the backfield as well.
Yeah. I haven't checked the line on that one yet, actually. But it's a stay away bet purely because I'm not completely sold on the 49ers beating the Packers, which basically means, like, if you're not completely sold to me, you can't really bet on something either or which way you go. That's my theory, at least.
No, well, yeah, I don't think so.
Not that we're a gambling podcast, but, you know, we do gamble. So
see if I can find the line. The line on that game is Green Bay -5.5.
Oh. Right in that red zone sort of the area. Oh, Jesus. 5.5. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the way that they're playing at the moment, you'd take that, you know, you'd take San Francisco any day of the week, really, if giving San Francisco 6 points.
Yeah, you would think so.
It's
12 degrees cold. I think that's kind of, yeah, wow. I don't think it'd be.
The weather will be interesting because that's the late night game.
Yeah, 12 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's still around the zero. That's still around the 0 degree mark. I think that might even be less than 0 degrees.
That 12 degrees Fahrenheit is, sorry, no, it's -11 degrees
that
Celsius.
That is disgusting.
I just seen your face change when I told
that is,
you. When,
that is disgusting.
When I converted that, your face
you
just dropped.
You can't be expected. Like, I mean, it's nothing. You can't be expected to play football in that. Good God.
Well, let's put it in comparison of what I said that Bills-Pats game was last week. And that was, and that was 4 degrees Fahrenheit, which is -15.5. So...
That is horrendous.
It's going to be -11, extremely cold, which means
you
it's going
to... You won't be able to feel your extremities.
That's what 12 degrees turns into, -11 degrees Celsius.
Those big coats that they wear, like they must be the most unbelievably insulated, you know, like little heat fans or friggin' something like that in there. I don't know what the hell they got in there.
5.5. Interesting.
They look rather comfortable, though.
So moving on to the last two games, the Chiefs blew out the Steelers 42-21. I mean, for me at least, he I wouldn't say he was near perfect, but Mahomes was sublime in this game. He wasn't near perfect. Like, if I'm comparing him to a Josh Allen this week, I think Josh Allen was near perfect compared to Patrick Mahomes.
No, look, you know, the first significant thing that Mahomes did was through that interception.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And it was just that was really the only thing that was keeping Pittsburgh in this game was their defense and the way that they sort of, you know, made Mahomes look a little, you know, a little less than perfect. But like you said, you know, once they started to catch fire, they started rolling. But yeah, Pittsburgh have been notorious all year for slow starts. They have a total of 36 points in the first quarter all season. Yeah, you know, they were a complete and utter mess.
Why don't you tell me that I put a bet on the first quarter? I didn't realize that one.
For Pittsburgh to be zero. Like, that's unbelievable. Like, Pittsburgh had 7 punts in the first half. They were consistently in third and long, you know, and very quick three and outs a lot. Like, that first quarter and a half for both teams, I think, was pretty ordinary. And, you know, midway through that second quarter, Pittsburgh had 21 plays and it only amassed 36 yards. Like, they just could not get anything going offensively. Nobody was on the same page. They were saying that on the broadcast. It's just like nobody is on the same page here at all.
Yeah.
Like, Big Ben was as he'd sort of dropped back in the shotgun, and then all of a sudden he looked like he's going to hand off to Najee Harris. He pulls the ball away from him, and then Harris sort of stops, and I think it's like, uh-oh, I think he was meant to actually give him the ball. And then Ben's like, oh, no, here you go, and gives him the ball back, and then he gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage. You're just like, oh, my God. Like, you just had to hit your hand on your face and go, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is just – and for them to be 7-all going into the 2-minute warning of you know, in the second quarter was flabbergasting. And then –
yeah, but that's just the credit to Steelers defense. Yeah, then they got smoked, but
after that, and that's what the only thing I could think of was that Kansas City did a Stone Cold Steve Austin and opened up a can of whoop ass because holy mackerel, did they just go bananas after that 2-minute warning? 2 touchdowns before the quarter, before the half, 2 more touchdowns,
2 more touchdowns, yeah,
in the third quarter within 6 minutes. And it's like, oh, all right, well, that's, you know, that's this game. Yeah, that's this game done and dusted.
Yeah, and then, it was. You're right. It ended up being done and dusted, didn't it? What do you think of, you know, considering they sort of picked him up real late, Jerick McKinnon picked him up. He got let go by the 49ers last year, and they picked him up real late. He sort of just got, I guess, a little bit got thrown in there, but he was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, look, I think he's been a little bit of plug and play in there at the moment. So it's not a very run heavy offense, Kansas City, and look, they've had a few guys there this year that sort of haven't really had a lot of success. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't really sort of gone up to the.
He's an interesting one, sure. Isn't he? He's an interesting one.
I'm not sure what he is like, but just purely in this offense, because it's not really needed the way that they sort of, you know, they have this flyabout offense that, yeah, they've got
but
quickness, they've got Travis Kelce. So
is
you
it?
Can have guys that can plug and play in there.
But this is the thing. And this is what I've noticed during the years, that those first few losses is because they don't have a run game. They were pretty exposed and everybody was double-teaming Kelce or double-teaming Hill, and they had absolutely no run game. So maybe having someone like Jerick, I mean, this could have been a once-off great game. He hasn't really done anything in the past 3 or 5 years that he's been in the league, but I still think they believe they need a run game to get over certain humps of games.
Oh, no, you absolutely do. You do need to get down and dirty in the trenches, you know, every now and then. You can't just consistently win games like this, you know, with being as, you know, 30 of 39 and throwing for 400 yards and, you know, getting a lot of yards after the catch and things like that. You know, when I think the big thing, whether or not they started to listen to the media, because, you know, throughout that first 6 or 7 weeks, what were they, 3-4, and everybody's questioning them and everybody's sort of saying about, oh, you know, they're easy to plan for now if you play, you know, a bit of shell coverage, if you play two high safeties and you can take away the deep ball. Patrick Mahomes, it's not computing for him that I still need to consistently throw the deep ball, and now they're starting to take what the defense gives them and taking those little intermediate routes and playing a little bit of dink and dunk and just taking those shorter passes, once you start to do that, then teams will have to go, oh, crap, you know, now what do we do? You know, we do have to sort of drop back a little bit, and then that then starts to push on and gets the deep ball going again. So
yeah,
I think that's just something that Mahomes had to learn on the run, and it took him nearly 2 months of this season of a lot of teams showing them those two deep safeties, and it's taken them that long to sort of realize that, and now they're starting to reap the benefits.
Okay, so Steelers, Big Ben retires. Yes or no?
Well, I think that's as good as done without actually hearing it from the horse's mouth. No.
Oh man, if you looked at the ticker tape parade he had when his final game was at, you know, at Pittsburgh, you would say so. But you know, he still hasn't official, unless he's waiting for the end of the season. I don't know, but yes, I think so.
I think
too.
That's all it can be. Like, you know, if they do exit interviews and you know, things like that. You know, we're not a week after their season is finished. So, you know, once things start to simmer down a little bit, I really like the fact that that Juju came back this week, you know, and he caught 5 catches and didn't look terrible. You know, he didn't get a whole lot of yards or anything. I think his longest catch was only like seven yards. So, but for him to sort of get back out there and say, hey, I'm still here, I thought was really good. Yeah,
that was my next question. Re-sign Juju or
week 5. I'd like to see him stay there. I'd like to see how him and Deontay Johnson sort of work together, and you know, and Chase Claypool. Look, that would be an amazing.
Oh, it is. They need a quarterback
monster there.
They have a three-headed monster. Like they're three-headed monsters up, you know, easily up there with your Dallas. You know, if you look at your Dallas as one of Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Gallup. Not that he's been there, but that's easily the best three that I think. I've always thought that Pittsburgh had the best three, to be completely honest. But
well, it's probably not quite as good as
probably as prolific. But if you can get someone to unlock them, like, you know, Chase half got unlocked in his first year, didn't have a great season this year. None of them did. But
no,
it's They're not a bad team. They're really still set up. They're not a bad.
No, that's right. I think they could absolutely go all in. Yeah, that's right. They could go all in for a quarterback. They could maybe try and pick up something in the draft. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the way to go. I think they're still set up to win now. You know, just have a look at what they've done this year and actually sneaking into the playoffs. So I think that they absolutely, you know, could be all in for, you know, even if it's a mid-range quarterback, could they go with someone like Dwayne Haskins? I'm not sure. I don't think that might be the way to go for them. But, you know, Mason Rudolph's not the way forward.
Kirk Cousins is on the way.
Somebody, yes, right. Somebody along the lines of Kirk Cousins.
Your boy, if they don't sign him, Jameis Winston's another
one. Jameis Winston.
I think it's better to do that than probably find one. And find a rookie quarterback in the draft. I think they literally find a quarterback even if they either trade or get one on free agency. Because Ben,
I think free agency would be the way to go, because I think there would be veteran quarterbacks out, not so much veteran quarterbacks, but guys that have been around for a little while that will be like, hey, I could fit in perfectly here. I'm ready to go. I don't need development. All I need to do is get the playbook and have a look at the weapons that I've got. You know, I've got a good pass catching and a good thumping back in Najee Harris there as well, which I thought the good old commentator's curse in that game was brutal. So in the second quarter, they come out and say, oh, you know, the Najee Harris played 340 snaps or whatever it was and hasn't had a fumble this year. And, you know, it's been unbelievable. He's been so reliable with his hands. Third quarter, fumble. They lose the ball. And it's just like, oh, my God. Like, why do they do? It's like when they do that, when they put up graphics for, you know, Boswell has been so good, you know, inside 50 yards. And then all of a sudden, the next kick that he has, he'll miss. So, the commentator's curse was, and the commentator's curse is real.
Oh, the commentator's
curse. It's absolutely real, and it came out again in this game.
Before we move on, while I was checking free agents, and so I didn't realize this could be a pickup for someone. Melvin Gordon's a free agent next year. I know it's way off topic, but that's an interesting pickup if Denver don't re-sign him. That's a very interesting pickup.
Yeah, look, and I think he's had a decent enough season that he might warrant. So. He might warrant a little bit of a pay increase.
I think so. Final game was, you probably still look at it, to me at least, as a blower, because it was. Arizona never looked like winning this game. They lost 34-11. Kyler just, for me, more or less, he looked scared.
I don't know. I honestly don't know what happened towards the end of the season with Arizona. Like, I think it's just one of those classic.
The owner doesn't. I just read an article that the owner doesn't even know what happens in what's happened in the last 5 weeks when it was 1-4. He has no idea.
Just one of those things. They peaked too early.
They did the same thing last year too.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
D-Hop
no more evident than that disaster pick six that basically was only like 5 yards when Kyler Murray's in his own end zone trying to avoid a safety, and instead of costing his team 2 points, he cost his team 7 points.
Yeah,
they struggled to move the ball. Like, they had 28 passing yards in the first half.
They
had no answers defensively. JJ Watt came back in this game, and they flapped on the Monday night crew that, JJ Watt's going to have a huge impact on this game. And it's just like, what did he do? Absolutely nothing.
I think once Buda Baker was essentially knocked out.
That didn't look very nice.
And he's a real general in that team. He was the one that... He's not a big guy, but he was the one that was hyping him up before they went out there. Just going.
He's the energy man for that team. And you know, after that most of this game, it looked to me that they haven't had any mojo at all. And Arizona and the Rams look like they had, especially over the last month or so, they've had all the mojo. This is how bad Arizona were. It took them until 7 minutes left in the third quarter to get into the Rams half.
Yeah.
And then it took them 5 minutes to go. So another 2 minutes to get them into the red zone.
Yeah.
So they went nearly 40 minutes without getting into the opposition's red zone.
Yeah. No, and it was extremely evident. I didn't see any shroud of any evidence after that first half that they had any possibility of coming back after they were 21-0 down. Not any shred of anything. And you said what was the difference. Maybe D-Hop was that biggest difference. Really, maybe he was.
Look, I think so. Like, they really dropped off.
They really
dropped off after he went down. He's as safe a set of hands as there is around the league. He's still explosive, and I think they lost a bit of that. Like, you know, they still had that good punch there with James Conner. Chase Edmonds didn't really do a whole lot in this game. The Rams, once they knew that they had this game well in hand, they just ran the ball then, and that was it. And they just kept the ball away from the Cardinals, and that was it. It was not so much a fairly simple game plan, but once they knew they had it all well in hand, then yeah, they just went away from Matthew Stafford. He only threw 17 times in this game, and I think the way that he's been playing lately, that's a good thing.
How about Odell throwing a 40-yard bomb?
Oh, that was awesome.
He had more
yards, I think, on that one shot than what Kyler Murray had
in the first half
when he threw that.
In the first half, he had 40 yards and Kyler Murray had 28 yards.
That's unbelievable.
So speaking of Kyler Murray, so the stat I've got on this is off season stuff as well, but he's due next year. He is due. I'm assuming, let's just say forget Arizona, but I'm assuming he's a $40 million a year guy.
Ooh. I'd probably do more like a pay scale and increase those as so it doesn't cost you as much now. Sort of sometimes they love what they do with superstars in the NBA. They should do. Yeah,
They do that with guaranteed. Technically, that's what they do with their guaranteed.
No, that's right.
But say he's a 35 to 40 million guy, and what you've seen so far with Arizona, like this is their first playoff with Kyler. Do they keep him?
Because they've invested a number one pick in him and they threw away Josh Rosen like he was a banana peel.
Okay, so I'll put this to you because this is how I thought about it. Do you re-sign him for 35 to 40 mil or do you dangle him out there and someone offers what they like offered Stafford, who got 3 first round picks, and this is a young guy. He would have to command 3 first round picks. What would you do as Arizona? Seriously, 3 first round picks.
It depends on where those first round picks are coming from. Whether they're high first round picks or
understood. But let for argument's sake, let's say it's top 15.
I mean, you'd certainly have.
Well, at least the first one. You never know the next two, but at least the first one's top 15.
I mean, you'd certainly have to consider it, but you'd also have to look at the future in what's coming out. What's coming out in college. So if you believe that you've got a can't miss prospect that you see someone like a Stenson Bennett or somebody like that won the national title for Georgia, if you see something like that, or if you think you can lure a quarterback to come there and play with this core. Once you lose Kyler Murray, then your quarterback, you got, what are you going to, Colt McCoy?
Well, so this is my question then. If you're saying like all they do are trade, so what for another decent quarterback or whatever. But what I'm getting at is you still see value if it was 35 to 40 keeping Kyler Murray from what you were saying. Well, I think he's going to command it, even if he does move.
I think he will.
He's an interesting one. This is what I'm getting at. Very, out of all the quarterbacks, he's explosive. There's no doubt about it. He's explosive. But is he going to get you a chip? He's hard to read because sometimes you see him on the sideline and he's real just nonchalant. That's why you need Butter Baker there, because he's got no pump-up skill in him by the looks of it, Kyler Murray.
I think he's a weird one
for that reason. I don't know where I grade him. I mean, as a fantasy quarterback, I'd keep him every day of the week. That's right.
And Arizona now have made a huge turnaround. Taking him at number one, which was a huge call. Hmm. Cliff Kingsbury there, supposed to be the air raid master. That's why they brought him in there. So I think that they need to get D-Hop back. And do they look at or continue to look at improving their wide receiver core? Look, Christian Kirk and Rondale Moore, they don't blow my skirt up. As being super dynamic wide receivers. Like Christian Kirk is very solid. They've got AJ Green there, who's a Grizzly veteran, but he's not super explosive. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, they could absolutely use him better. What did they do for him in this game? 3 targets, no catches. Like you why bring him in there if you're not going to freaking use him?
Yeah, because he was for the most part he was. During the year, at least he, except for that weird touchdown, I think it was like week 5 or week 6. No, the weird pick where he hadn't turned around in time, and once he turned around, the ball was picked off him. Other than that, and that wasn't his half Kyler Murray's fault and half his fault. I remember that was like right. It was against the Packers. They could have won that game. And it was a pick. It was a pick 6, and that was it. It was game over. Other than that, I think he was pretty good this year. I really think
he can absolutely still be used because he's a big body. Like, he might not have the speed, but he's big and physical, and he's got good hands. He's always had good hands. You know, I don't like the way that they sort of used him there, whether or not that was just, you know, he's come in mid-season and he needs to get into, you know, get into the groove of things and use that, you know, and get into that playbook a little bit more. Whether he was there on a lot of snaps, I'm not sure what his snap count percentage was. So, they absolutely, I think, could have used him a lot better, but. The Rams kept the ball away from them, and that sort of shot them in the foot.
They've got about, I guess before we move on to news, they've got about $12 million to spend, and looking at the free agencies in front of me, I'd go after it because this is the first time this guy's been on free agency, and he was okay this season. He dropped off a bit, but Mike Williams, just a name that popped out of there. Be an interesting sort of pickup. You know, your big boppers, they're not going to get you. Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Devontae Adams. You know, those three are going to command massive money. But yeah. Allen Robinson, we don't know. That's a whole different story.
That's
but,
where you could pick him up on the cheap.
Well, if anyone picks, if he went to a contending team and showed him his worth and he signed like a 1 or 2 year deal and then got his money, it's probably the best thing for him to do because I'd be surprised if
I think that's the only thing for him to do one-year prove-it deal.
Because I don't think the Bears are re-signing now after this year, and they're not going to give him the franchise tag, so it's probably not a bad idea. But Rams
now going to Tampa Bay. The Rams took care of Tampa Bay this year. Week three or week five. That was a long, long time ago. In the grand scale of things, but
their defense destroyed them, and all that really the Bucks have got. You know, you got Giovanni Bernard as your starting running back.
Well, that's right. They're basically running backless at the moment. Like Ronald Jones Evans has gone down.
So. That line is I sneakily like the Rams in this. That line's only 2.5, with Rams a favorite of course being at home. But I honestly sneakily like the Rams. I just think they've got more weapons everywhere in offense and defense.
And if they keep that run game up too, you know, if Akers continues to improve. You know, you've got Sony Michel there. You could do the same sort of thing there. You could sort of run them out of the gym, so to speak. You could really hit them hard up front. Tampa would have to be a very, you know, more pass heavy sort of game. Like they had Keyshawn Vaughn there that didn't do too badly against Philadelphia, but let's be honest, it's against Philadelphia. I think that the Rams front four is going to be a lot more sort of menacing than what Philadelphia can offer you. So, going into Tampa, I think the Rams are a huge chance.
Yeah, me too. I really, you look at the last four wins by the Bucks. They beat, these are both, you know, just looking at the teams and who they play. They beat Carolina. They beat New Jersey. My God, the Jets. Sorry. Then they beat Carolina again and the Eagles. Where the Rams beat Minnesota, Baltimore just lost in overtime to the 49ers and beat Arizona. So, I don't know if the Bucs have played someone like the Rams. And I just looking across at the Rams, like that defense could really, really disrupt Brady.
No, absolutely. If they can get in there, Brady's not going to be getting out of the pocket a whole lot. Like he's going to be. He's going to be a statue behind that offensive line, and if like Aaron Donald can get through, then he's in some trouble.
I know we got to move on, but if the Bucks lose this game, is he a sneaky chance of saying see you later and retire?
Brady.
Yes.
No.
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 Really?
No.
You don't think with all this
He's going to play until he's like 75.
I just think there's these little breadcrumbs, like that man in the arena, and we'll talk about that a bit later, that came out. He did not like what Antonio Brown basically hung him out to dry. He hated that. He hated that privately. Really
hated
that. No,
that's
true. I don't know. I'm not saying it's true, but if I was a betting man and you gave me like a 33% chance, like 3-1 odds, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's not.
See,
it's not out of the realms of possibility.
He hasn't fallen off the wagon just yet, so
I don't think so. But we also, you're right. But Brady just does things that we all don't expect either.
No, that's right.
Know? So it's not out of the realms of. I mean, it would completely screw up the Bucks for the next few years, but it's not out of the realms of possibility. Is all I'm saying. I don't think so. I just thought.
I don't think so. I think you know what drives him. Is different to what drives other people. I still think he's playing. Look, he's just thrown for like 5,000 yards again this year. Like it's unbelievable what he's doing. Like if they can continue to do what they're doing, they've got if they can keep Chris Godwin there, look, and like you said, you know, they don't have Antonio Brown, but yeah, you know, they've got.
Oh.
They've got guys that he likes that, you know, obviously, I think a big part of that, too, would be if Gronk continues on and vice versa. If Brady continues on, Gronk will continue on. I think if Gronk leaves, then Brady will have a real hard decision to make. But I still think he stays.
And Lenny comes off contract this year too, and only got paid $4 million this year, so he's going to get a hefty rise. So he might even be.
He will get an extreme rise, even if it's only a 1 or 2 year deal. But look, yeah. he's been out the last few weeks, so you know whether or not running backs.
But
once the injuries start to creep in, then yeah, that could mean a little bit of trouble. But I think they still try and run this. Still try and run this back, like yeah. But Brady, he just seems to be, you know, everlasting at this point in time, and just the way that the numbers are stacking up with him, he just doesn't look like he's slowing down anymore. I think if he has a season where, you know, he's even a mid-range quarterback and he's being sacked a lot. Then I think that will sort of force his hand, but he's just going to continue to chug on.
All right, so studs of the week, studs and duds of the week, as we always do. I mean, for me at least, in the stud section, I couldn't look past the near perfect, well, probably perfect game of Josh Allen. He was absolutely. He was too good in that game.
Buffalo as a whole,
but his game was. His game was just unbelievable. But you're right, Buffalo as a whole, you could probably say that as well.
And also,
minus, you know, 11-degree weather.
No, that's right. And I'm not too sure if you. You just can't play football in that. You just can't. The freaking ice hockey. Good God. I thought also what was kind of funny too in that game was when. When the Patriots had their first TD scored, there was flying objects that came into the end zone there. One flying object that came into the end zone was a dildo. I don't know if you've seen.
No, I missed that one.
you didn't see that. That was effing hilarious.
Why do people always have to bring a dildo?
Fly out into the end zone. And you're just like, who on earth brought that in and who thought that was a great idea to throw it in the end zone as a, I think, yeah, I'm not, I can't remember who scored, the TD, but it was Kendrick, Kendrick Bourne. Yeah, and it was close to him as well. Like, I don't know whether I'll try to hit him or not, but yeah, it got the desired result.
Pass through security and everything. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I mean, you know, if they're going through your bag, you just say, well, yeah, what? Oh, yeah, I don't know. But I thought that was, I thought that was kind of good too, just seeing, it's just sitting there in the end zone, just, you know, people sort of walking around it and going, ah, I'm pretty sure that's a dildo.
Your dart of the week? Possibly the same as mine, but we'll see.
It was really hard to choose between, you know, Arizona and Dallas. But I'm probably going to go Arizona. It just didn't look like they were up to the challenge at all.
Yeah, it was that final play by Dallas. It's hard to blah. I'll just say Dallas because that final play just still does not make sense to me. A quarterback draw, regardless, like you said, he could have went. It's hard to blame anybody because you don't know who called it, but let's blame the whole team because that was a ridiculous call.
If it was the right call,
you went down early.
I'd like to commend the broadcaster there that was at the Dallas game. I think that was it Fox? Oh no, it was CBS that was there.
It was CBS.
And
yeah.
with 4 minutes to go essentially in the fourth quarter. And the game was not gone by any sense of the imagination with 4 minutes to go. And they're panning through the crowd and there's people crying and hugging each other and it's just like, oh, for God's sakes, people.
Hey, well,
come on.
You know, America's team, mate. We're passionate.
Oh my Lord! I saw the same thing. Like they're worse than Lakers fans.
Shut up. The first thing I didn't want to see, and obviously it pops up wherever you go, was Stephen A's reaction after the game. But that, you know, that's because he is.
Loves them Cowboys when they fall on their face.
Moving on to some bit of news to cover.
There's been a lot of fallout after the season's ended, you know, with coaches and GMs being sort of thrust out the door. The big names that are being thrown around out there, I guess, that are having multiple interviews at the moment is Brian Flores. It looks like he's being interviewed at Chicago and Houston. And
everywhere. Also it seems like his name's at every team by the looks of it. Brian Flores nearly gets named at every team.
I think so, yeah. Look, Dan Quinn's name has been thrown out there. He's a candidate.
And Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore as well. Look, Minnesota are chasing Kellen Moore, and they've also asked for an interview for Todd Bowles as well, the defensive coordinator for Tampa. So,
there's a lot of
rumors floating around about Rich Bisaccia at Las Vegas, whether or not they could keep him on, whether they're looking for a bit more of a known commodity, like they had a disaster of a season, still made the playoffs, and were very close to actually stealing that game, or at least forcing overtime in that game against Cincinnati. Is he going to get a chance to sort of take this team over full time? I've seen rumors floating around that that Jim Harbaugh would totally consider taking the Raiders job if it was offered. So I'm not too sure how true those rumors are.
The players love Rich, so I don't know if that's going to play into Al Davis's decision, but the players want him next year. I said this to you last week, I think, off the pod. I said, if you're going to sign him, that's fine, but stop doing these 5 or 10 year contracts. Do it 2 or 3 years.
I think that's all it is.
I know you can let him go, but you still got to do the payouts. Like, so don't do these massively long contracts. You know, if they go after Harbaugh, like, are they going to do a 10 year like they did with Gruden?
No, exactly.
I would hope they won't.
That's right. Anything can happen, and I think it would have to be a significant contract if you're going to lure Jim Harbaugh
It'll be significant, but don't give him 10 years. That was ridiculous. A 10-year contract, that's insane. Although, in saying that, in not forgetting the 10-year contract, for all what Gruden did, he did what he said. He turned that team around. He really did. He kept building and chipping away. We all kept scoffing at his first-round choice picks in the last few years, but look at where they got them.
No, that's right. They weren't Super Bowl contenders by any stretch of the imagination, but he made them relevant again, and that's what they wanted.
Yep. And they're in Vegas, and
And, you know, that's – I don't know if that's a playground for people to go to. Well, that's a playground for the Pro Bowl.
That's a playground for people, but I don't know if that's a playground for players to be going to.
You would
and
have
it's crazy,
like,
too. Like, you see that stadium there. It is awesome. Right on the strip. Like,
I love
it's
the
just,
stadium.
It's,
it looks awesome.
It's unbelievable, like, that they got that premium land right there, and they got all the approvals and everything. No, we're not going to put a casino there. We're going to put a football stadium there.
And it looks like a big Darth Vader Death Star. It looks so cool.
It's
and
crazy.
They got lights going
off
everywhere.
I love that. A few things that have sort of come out as of late as well. Josh McCown, the former quarterback in the league and only just sort of recently retired, looks like he's going to get an interview at Houston. So, you know, they're sort of going hard on – I'm not sure how that would actually go there in Houston with – you know, with a former quarterback being just chucked straight in there as the head coaching job. I've also heard that Chicago are chasing an interview with Dennis Allen, who's the Saints defensive coordinator, who absolutely deserves the chance at getting a head coaching position, but I don't think he'll leave New Orleans. A few hires that have been...
You don't think he'll leave New Orleans? You mean you don't want him to leave New Orleans? There's a difference there.
No, I don't think he'll leave. I honestly don't. Like, they've got one of the best defenses in the league, and it's shown that they're a quarterback and maybe a wide receiver away from being a contender again in the NFC. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Yeah, okay. It's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's got.
Well,
one of
you're right. I mean,
you may as well stick with the devil you know. Rather than going to a new place and ensuing that, you know, and putting in that same sort of scheme with guys that you're not really sure on, like, you know, what they've got working there at the Saints is working. So, look, it would be a drastic pay increase for him, and whether or not he would like the chance to take that, but yeah, I would think that they would continue on with that. One sort of puzzling hire that's come out just recently is Carolina. Hiring Bob McAdoo as their offensive coordinator. I don't know what that does for you.
I don't know what it does. I don't know what it does at all. I don't think
there's a whole lot of innovation coming out of Bob McAdoo.
No, I don't think, you know, I don't think at all. Like, Bob McAdoo, you know, he was the coach for
He was at the Giants before they took on Joe Judge.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm sorry. That was Ben McAdoo you're talking about, yeah?
Ah, sorry, Ben McAdoo, yeah.
Ben McAdoo, sorry, yeah, I was getting confused, yeah. Yeah, and his head coaching season there was, well, it was 13-15, so it wasn't sort of too bad, but, I don't know.
All you're getting out of him is a nice oily slick back hairdo and a porn star mustache. Like, I don't think you're getting a whole lot of innovation out of there. I'm not sure where they're going with that hire.
But he was a Dallas Cowboys consultant this year. That's like everybody except for the person that I want to get rid of that they're all trying to take. Like everybody's name except for McCarthy's getting thrown out there. I'd half consider, well, it depends what they're going to do, but if they're going to get rid of McCarthy, I'd put Dan Quinn there and give Dan Quinn a shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing with, and this is always going to be a problem, is the thing with Dallas is that, yes, you're head coach in name, but Jerry Jones is going to have a huge amount of input in that team.
Always does.
So... You know, if you're a general manager, his general manager is his son, so that's a whole different thing. But if so of course he's going to have the wool over him. But that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the only one that I could just throw in. This won't happen. But the only person that I think that could go there, that could say to Jerry, you know, let me do it. Let's see how it go if I do it, because he likes him. And this is not going to happen because he's already got a cushy job. Is Tony Romo?
Yeah, right. He's not coming out of the booth.
No, that's for exactly. I think he's, you know, I'm not comparing him to Madden, but I'm not comparing him to Madden. But the people, like, people love him and love his calls. Because he's so dead on and correct.
He reads the game unbelievably.
And he's got that little bit of color commentator swagger.
He calls the plays before they're happening.
But he's got that flair, you know, especially when he mentions Jim Nance's name about 50,000 times. Oh, Jim, look at that play, Jim. Oh, my God. He loves it.
It's such a good pairing. Jim Nance.
Jim Nance is probably licking his chops. He doesn't have to do much at all. So,
that's right.
Any other news we need to finish on?
Going into next week, I think we've got some pretty good football to sort of happen. I think next week we'll give out our season award winners. So stay tuned for that next week. I just sort of wanted to bring it up. Just one thing that's been sort of coming up all year, and I haven't asked you about it, was the couple of things that have come out. So the Man in the Arena. Have you watched it, and did you like it? Because I haven't watched one single solitary second of it.
Okay. I haven't watched everything. I've watched the first couple of episodes. It's pretty good. Hi, I'm Tom Brady. This is a showy piece, and they're just, you know, riding Tom Brady like he's, you know, the king of ESPN. I mean, this is over exaggeration. It looks like Tom's actually put some massive thought into this.
This has been in the works for a little while.
But what I'm saying is...
I thought it was supposed to be like an 11-episode thing, not just 7.
I thought it was just a limited series kind of thing. I didn't realize how many episodes there was. But what I'm getting at in terms of Tom's put some real thought into this is it comes across in those first two, at least. Yes, he's breaking down certain season, and yes, he's breaking down certain points, but it's all the other stuff that you know, how he got there, what he got there, what he had to do to prepare. He's almost a philosopher in a good way. It's not a bad watch. It's really not a bad watch. If you're a Pats fan, you know, it's,
I think that's the thing that sort of pulls me away from it a little bit.
But it's also good that he didn't, and this is why I like it, because the one that I'm getting into now in the third one's, you know, his first Giants loss in the Super Bowl. But even you're listening to him when he commentates it, it's like he's taking it on the chin kind of thing, you know. In this kind of situation, you could say, we were the best. We should have won that game, blah, 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 blah. He did say we might have been the better team on the day, but that doesn't make a difference. It's pretty good. It's not as bad as you think. It's not dribble.
You know what I mean? Maybe I'll give it a sniff.
It's not too bad. I mean, and that's what I mean. Like, why drop this now? I just think there's something. I think if it's not next year, it's a year after. I don't think he's going to play to what we said to 50-70, as great of a season as he had.
I mean, I think he's got those 5-year goals in mind. So he'll be at 45 soon. I guess see where he goes from there. But it's all going to depend on how many hits he takes. If he starts taking more hits than normal quarterbacks should be, and especially at his age, and the body starts to ache a little bit more, and I think he will have to seriously consider, stepping away.
I think so, but that's just sort of my call. And I just wanted to mention, this has got nothing to do with this, but I forgot to say this earlier. Just with, you know, we didn't really talk about the upcoming game of the Chiefs Bills. We didn't talk about that after that sort of last game. I think that the Chiefs are severely disrespected in that game, in this upcoming game. They're thinking about it. They're only 2-point favorites in that game. Everybody is on the Bills bandwagon of, Bills are going to make the AFC. It's their year, blah, 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 blah. 2 points for the Chiefs, who have made the last 4 years, you know, the Super Bowl.
Haven't they won like six? Haven't they won like six divisions in a row now?
Yeah, they've made it the last 4 years.
Well, 3 years.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think it's severely disrespected. That's a quick point I just wanted to make. I just think they were just a little bit disrespected in at 2 points. I personally, and the Bills are going into their yard too. So,
I mean, yeah, it's playoff football. So I guess those sort of things are dependent on how the bookies over there will put on it. So. Look, that could change between now and then as well. Yeah, it depends on how much money goes on it and whether the line starts to sort of spread out a little bit. But that should be a super close game. Like, you know, 2 points is, you know, I don't really like sort of, you know, taking either or on favorites that are, you know, less than a field goal. But yeah, 2 points could be a premium if you're putting money on this game.
Is there any other news you have before we close this off for the week?
No, I just like to mention I haven't watched a single solitary second of the Manning cast either, so I don't know what your opinion is on that.
Okay. I have. I wouldn't say everyone. By far and away, the one that I turned off quickly was when Roger Goodell was there.
Oh, nobody wanted to watch that.
But clearly that he wormed his way into that one.
He had The Rock on this past week, didn't they? Didn't they have The Rock on this past week?
Yes, they did.
How the hell did they get him?
Well, I've no idea. I mean, they seem, this is ESPN. They got a lot of decent ones. The couple of decent ones was Rogers. The Rogers was, you know, just a little, the barbs between all three of them, I guess, you know, like, Manning,
they got Brady on too, didn't they?
Yeah, but Peyton Manning saying to Rodgers, he goes, "Yeah, you don't need to win a fourth MVP. You're good because of how many Peyton's won and everything like that." Just a little barbs between it. Brady was good, and Snoop Dogg was awesome.
Oh my god,
he was. You know, what's wrong with Snoop? Don't shake your head at Snoop. He's the best. What?
He was. He ain't no more.
Oh, I just think he's moving into a media career because that dude just... Oh, like, yeah, absolutely. He's off the cuff, like, off the cuff lines are ridiculous. It was hilarious. But it's not how I would watch a game. I only wanted to watch a little bit of it to see. But you can't watch a game of...
No.
You're too distracted by them on the left-hand side instead of watching the game. You're too distracted.
Besides the fact that they're not anywhere near each other, they're not in a studio together. They're doing it on, you know, via Zoom. You know, it makes it a little clunky, I think. I didn't have any interest. I'd much rather get breakdown on the game from the actual commentators. You know, slinging shit on each other.
The thing is, I think viewer wise, I remember reading it's actually working. And ESPN like it, but it's actually working. So I think it continues for a bit.
No, I mean, most likely. And but the thing is, it wasn't every week either. So I think that might sort of keep people interested as well. I reckon if they had done, you know, 17 or 18 Monday night broadcasts, I think people would have got over it pretty quick.
Well, that's the other thing. It's a Monday night broadcast. It's not a bad idea because they're generally the poo-poo kind of games anyway. So... It was probably not a bad idea to at least sort of try it and still have the game available where you didn't have to watch the Manning cast. You could still watch it. Watch the actual game with actual commentators on ESPN.
Yeah, no, I'd much rather watch it like that than you know, unless you're an absolute, you know, astute student of the game and you know exactly what a commentary team is going to say. I'd much rather get analysis, you know, from a commentary team rather than those two, you know, just doing a sort of live cast and then sort of trying to spruce it up a little bit with some
celebrities. And they're both, you know, obviously the quarterback genes, but they're both calling, you know, similar to
see,
Ryan.
That's the yeah, that's right. That's the thing where I
they
think
they are. They, you know, Eli's actually really good at doing it. Eli can call.
Eli looks like he's got some personality. Peyton doesn't have any personality at all. But when he actually starts to break down the game, and you know he's got that doco series, detail on ESPN as well. When he breaks down the game, I like how he does that. He does have a little bit of, a little bit of pizzazz, when it comes to that. But when it's just back and forth, sort of talking and stuff like that, like you're saying, the Drew Brees is very monotone. I think Peyton Manning is very monotone.
Peyton Manning's very monotone as well. Yeah, Eli's got the swagger. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I never thought
Eli's got the swag.
He's got the swag. Yeah. Well, that will do it, I guess, now. For a, super wild card, looking at it now, super long podcast. So thanks for staying towards the end. Don't forget, as always, our socials are Twitter at Final Play Pod and Facebook, as always, Final Play Podcast, where you'll get all our links to Spotify, SoundCloud, etc. As always, big shout out to gimco.com.au or Eureka Sports Cards for having our pods up there on the on their community page, their community feed there.
Yeah, no, always appreciative of those guys. They've got some good stuff up there at the moment. So I'm not sure how their recent NBA breaks are going along all right. They've got some new products and that coming in. So I think the NFL looks like the NFL breaks are starting to wind down a little bit now that the season's starting to wind down a bit, but usually there's a big Super Bowl extravaganza break, so definitely looking out for that as the weeks, as the Super Bowl gets a little bit closer.
How'd you go in their NFL tipping comp?
Did I finish top 10? I think I finished top 10.
No, that's not bad. I mean, it's the hardest thing ever to pick NFL games. Not betting, but just picking. Yeah,
brutal.
It's very brutal.
I did. 10? I think I did all right in two comps. One comp that I did actually pay for, I did terrible because I accidentally forgot to tip the first. And, did pretty awful. So, finished like ninth in one. And I think is that the one there? I think they'll finish third in that one. So, so I didn't do too bad, and then the actual paid one that I went in, I finished 18th, which was pretty poor because I forgot to put in tips in the first round. Oh, not so much tips in the first round, but I missed out on a heap, and it was basically no tips. You don't get the away teams; you just get nothing. So pretty disappointed in that one. So well, and that's fair enough. I don't mind that.
That's your own. That's right. Your own fault for forgetting. So that's the way it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. 100% my fault.
Well, my name's Jason Zach Taylor Smith. And I'll tell you why I said that, because he nearly got my start of the week, the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, for parading the game ball around Cincinnati pubs until 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I did see that.
That's so good. What a legend. That's the game ball. That's so good. Like, that's – since he would have just been – and since he was, like, in our temperature, minus 15 or something, and he was just – he wouldn't have felt that at all. He was just on serious
adrenaline. Oh, no way. No, nobody in Cincinnati would have been feeling that after a 31-year drought. For playoff victories, that nobody in Cincinnati would have been feeling the cold that night.
The game ball went to like 5 different bars. It was awesome. The game ball that's probably going to be...
Did he give it to a fan? He gave it to a fan, didn't he?
He gave it to a fan, but as far as I read on, I think it went back to Cincinnati purely because that's the game ball of them winning, like you said, a first playoff in 31 years. That's going in their trophy cabinet.
Well, a game ball there. Let's not kid ourselves that there's only one game ball.
I don't know if it was a female fan, but let's not dip into that controversy.
He's Urban not Urban Meyer.
No, he's not Urban Meyer.
Although Urban Meyer gets other things from female fans, so which yeah.
true.
Well, yeah, well, they're probably a little bit more enjoyable than a football, so.
Probably cost us as much too. But anyway, finish up.
Oh, no, they'd cost way more than that.
It depends what kind of game ball. Oh, no. Sorry, let's finish that.
I'm Miles Sniff Plum, so we'll just leave it at that. Have a good week, everybody. We're getting down to the pointy end of the season now. So next week should be awesome. Divisional rounds, four games, two games on, I guess, Sunday morning for us and Monday morning for us. So still some early mornings. Get on to it. I think they're all on 7 Mate too. So, you know, you don't have to have KO or Foxtel to be able to watch these. So you can watch them on free to air. So, you know, it's good to see the NFL, especially, you know, the playoffs be on free to air for everyone to watch.
You're going to have to finish this. I can't get past this. Oh. Whatever he just said. I can't get past this. Have a good week, everyone.
We haven't even had a drop of alcohol in there throughout this
that
either.
Was a
like,
good one.
Unbelievable.
No, that's
this
a good one.
This is all just a natural high.
That's a good one. That was good. See ya. See ya, Ron.